I've been in an ongoing conversation with a student of mine about hope. What it is, where we find it, what it looks like in our work. And in talking with her, I realized that I had become very impassioned and hopeful as I talked about my studies in the history of nonviolence. All the social movements throughout the world that have, in fact, successfully brought about change using nonviolent strategies. I realized that that history roots me and gives me hope, because I remember that I'm not the first to walk these paths, to walk along these beaches. In one of Rachel's emails from Gaza, she reflects on another activist she knows, saying, "I think about Glenn going out every Friday for 10 years with tag board signs that address the number of children dead from sanctions in Iraq. Sometimes just one or two people there, and everyone thought they were crazy, and they got spit upon. Now there are a lot more people on Friday evenings. The juncture between Fourth and State is just lined with them, and they get a lot of honks and waves and thumbs up. They created an infrastructure there for other people to do something. Getting spit on, they made it easier for someone else to decide that they could write a letter to the editor, or stand at the back of a rally, or do something that seems slightly less ridiculous than standing at the side of the road addressing the deaths of children in Iraq and getting spit upon. In order to empower ourselves to do the work we want to do, we have to find out where we stand in the long and dignified history of people struggling for positive change in the world. Who are the people that have created an infrastructure for you? Who are the brave people that came before you that make bravery seem more possible for you? In order to empower ourselves to do the work we want to do, we also have to support each other now, and we have to stop waiting for the support of outside sources." Rachel wrote, "The international media and our government are not going to tell us that we are effective, important, justified in our work, courageous, intelligent, valuable. We have to do that for each other. And one way we can do that is by continuing our work visibly. Look around yourselves. Who are the groups on campus or in the community that are working for change? I've heard about some of them already tonight. Even if they are working for something that is not your personal focus, are there ways that you can support what they are doing? Can those working against racism get together with those working to save the environment? Can those trying to stop the war get together with those trying to reform our healthcare system? Can those working for the rights of gays and lesbians get together with those who are working for the rights of immigrants? Where are the overlaps? Where are the potential allies? How can you work together? How can you support each other and continue your work visibly, regardless of whether your event or protest gets into the paper or brings a large turnout? How can you build a movement together?" It was this prospect that made Rachel most hopeful about the future. In one of her last emails from Gaza to her mother, she wrote, "I look forward to increasing numbers of middle-class privileged people like you and me becoming aware of the structures that support our privilege and beginning to support the work of those who aren't privileged to dismantle those structures. I look forward to more moments like February 15th, 2003, which, by the way, was the largest anti-war protest in human history, when civil society wakes up en masse and issues massive and resonant evidence of its conscience, its unwillingness to be repressed, and its compassion for the suffering of others. I look forward to more teachers emerging who teach critical thinking to kids in the United States. I look forward to the international resistance that's occurring now, fertilizing analysis on all kinds of issues with dialogue between diverse groups of people. I look forward to all of us who are new at this, developing better skills for working in democratic structures and healing our own racism and classism and sexism and heterosexism and ageism and ableism and becoming more effective." This was a very hopeful email that she wrote.